Thank you for listening to this sermon from Axe Christian Church. We hope you are blessed by the following message.
I believe in the Spirit, everything is an invitation. God invites us into another level. God invites us to know Him. God invites us to serve Him. He doesn't force us. There's an invitation, and there's power in invitation. And that's what I want to share with you and stir you up. So this Sunday, next week, New Year's Eve, I want to speak about invitation. And God is inviting us to say yes. There has to be a yes. You know, when you get an invitation, you can say no. That's why they send you an invitation. Have you, you know, when you get a birthday invitation, you have an opportunity to say no. They say on the invitation, please reserve by such and such a time. And you can choose not to do that. And so every invitation comes with a yes and also an offer of a no. And I believe we're entering into the season of saying yes to God and to what He wants for our lives. So I believe that we must say yes to what God has for us. I believe we must say yes to the dream that He has for our lives. I believe we must say yes to the word that comes to you in a dream. You know, God has been inviting many people here. I think all of us, actually. There's an invitation, some way or the other, to serve Him, to leave something, to go somewhere. There's invitations that are coming from the Spirit of God. And that is a word. Sometimes it's just an impression. Sometimes it's a desire that comes to your heart. That is an invitation that God is putting on the inside of you. That is a word from the Lord, and God invites us to say yes to that word. And in this season, we have to say yes to the fight of faith. Because if you're going to do anything for God, it's going to be a fight of faith. You have to press in. You don't take new ground without a fight. You have to say yes to that fight. Yes to going forward and going through all the persecution and the trials and the difficulties that yes brings with it. That is the yes of faith. Amen? So faith requires sacrifice. You can never say yes without a sacrifice. Even Jesus, I love what it says in Isaiah. The Bible says there concerning Christ, says, who shall we send? Who shall we send to bring redemption on the earth? Who shall we send to pay the price? And the Lord says, here I am. Send me. What did He do? He responded to an invitation. Jesus responded to the invitation. Say, yes, send me. But what did that yes bring? Sacrifice. Great sacrifice. Jesus had to die on a cross, shed His blood, give His life for the sins of the world. That is a sacrifice. There's no yes that you will ever say to God and it not come with a sacrifice. You call to serve God somewhere, there's going to be a sacrifice. You called to follow Jesus, there's going to be a sacrifice because you have to leave something. You have to leave something behind. When you say yes to Jesus as the Lord of your life, you chose to leave something behind so that you can follow Jesus. That's what is that? It's a sacrifice. If there's going to be a yes to an invitation, there must be obedience. There must be an obedient heart. That obedience sets in motion your life, sets in motion your actions, your decisions and your planning. If you're going to respond to an invitation, there has to be trust. Because when you follow God, His invitation doesn't come like that birthday invitation you've received. That birthday invitation that you received came with an address. But when God invites you to do something, He doesn't give you the address. He just says, leave. He says, go. Just go and I will show you. There's a huge level of trust when it comes to serving God. He says, leave your past life, follow me. And He doesn't tell you where you're going. None of us in the natural have ever received an invitation. Come to my birthday, just leave your house. But God does that. That's how He does it. He says, this is trust levels. He says, get out the boat, walk on the water. He doesn't tell you how. He asks you to do something. He doesn't tell you who's going to pay for it. He asks you to go to a place. He doesn't tell you all the plans and have it all worked out together and have an outline. You know how we are. We want everything planned and then we'll make a decision. Shall we go? God just says, I want you to go and you have to go. Saying yes to God's invitation means you have to have spiritual eyesight. It means you have to see what He sees. Cannot see what the natural sees. You have to see what He sees. When Jesus said, yes, I will go. Do you know what? He saw you and I this Sunday morning sitting here, sons and daughters of God. He looked ahead, saw what the Father saw and said, yes. It's going to be a cost. It's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be a price. It's not going to be convenient. I must leave my home and come to earth. Be spat upon. Be rejected by man. It was a prize. And yet He saw with spiritual eyes what was possible. I believe in the world of the Spirit. There's an invitation. This morning, as we go into this next year, I believe there's an invitation to go higher. I believe there's an invitation to go further. I believe there's an invitation to go deeper. I believe there's an invitation to go wider with God, wider with Him in every area, every direction, wider in our hearts, wider in our thoughts. God is looking for people who will not look at the cost, but who will look at the reward. God is looking for people who will not look at the sacrifice, but will look at the harvest. There is an invitation from God. I believe this with all of my heart. When the Lord has moved and we've had to obey, it was simply an invitation. Will you trust me? Will you obey me? So before I finish this message, I want to share with you our last 11 days. We got back last night, traveled. We traveled 24 hours. It took us 24 hours of traveling to get home. I'm quite certain whoever designed economy seat flights and planes was a sadist or something. About a month ago, the church in Bradford, which was Smith Wigglesworth's church, over the last 2 years, actually has been renewed, and there was a man who had a heart to restore that church. But a month ago, he decided that his season had come to an end. He's giving the church back to the owner end of December, a week from now. And went to the owner, and the owner said, well, I'm going to take this back as a business for my wife. But being a God-fearing man, not a Christian, but a God-fearing man, he said, unless there was a relative of Smith Wigglesworth that will take the church. So the man contacted my mom, who's a relative of Smith Wigglesworth, and said, this is what the man says, will you take the church? Just a month ago. So mom came to me and said, God wants us to take the church. I said, in my heart, I was thinking, are you crazy? Well, what do you mean God wants us to take the church? And I even said to her, I said, Mom, God doesn't move on monuments. I was not convinced. I thought this was a crazy idea. 1 week later, I'm in East London at the Faith on Fire conference with a Faith TV program. Sitting on the, how many of you saw the program? All right, so I was sitting on the front row. The camera was right there. I knew some of you were watching, so I was behaving myself right there. And Apostle Nicky got up to preach. He made me stand up and he gave me two words. And the first word was, he said, God is sending you to Cape Town. I said, hallelujah, amen. We're planning a church in Cape Town. This is God, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And the second word he said was, don't shut your ear to England. I said, get behind me, you devil. How? I said, why did you tell him? And I'm sitting there. I didn't hear anything after that. I just began to think and say, what an invitation. And do we say yes or no? So how would he know? How can this be possible? So I phone my mom. I say, I think God's sending you to England. Pioneer a church. And a yes began to generate in my heart. Now, that was about 3 weeks left to the end of the year. I said, well, if you're going to do it, I said, you got to be set up. You got to have, you know, how you're going to do it. There's just, you know, it's different when you have a team. And having said that, we've met some wonderful people there in Bradford in the church. Just amazing people that God has planted there. But I said, you got to have the system set up. You know me, I'm just like, have a sound system, the rest follows. Just have it done. And where are you going to live? You don't even have a bank account there. You don't have anything. So I said, we have to go. And we cleared out 10 days in our diary so that I could go with. And so we went. And it was exactly 10 days. And I want to share with you some of the things that God did, because, you know, when we got there, it just seemed, for the first 3 days, it just seemed this was going to be impossible. It just seemed like it was just red tape everywhere, just impossible. So about a week before we went, we began to say to Pastor Trevor from Revival Fire, said, we're coming, this is what's happening. And firstly, can you buy us a car? He said, what car do you want? I said, I don't care, just go and buy the first car you can find. And it just worked out so perfect. This little green car, all the seats fold down and it becomes like a big little van at the back there. It was just absolutely perfect. The whole sound system fitted in there. It was just a mess. I said, this car was built for us. But we had to get there, and these are some of the things that took place. We bought a car. We had the MOT done, which is your car in, your license. We had insurance done for mom. Oh, my word. Mom carries a British passport, hasn't lived there for 60 years. It was like she was born yesterday. Do you know what they ask you? Have you got any track record? Where did you last live? Have you had an accident in the last 5 years? I said, we haven't been living here for the last 5 years. What is your last address? South Africa. We could not answer one question correctly. Every red tape was against us. It seemed impossible. We were aliens on the earth. And slowly, it began to happen. The insurance came. The church bank account was opened. Mom's bank account was opened. We received the sound system from Germany, packed it in the car, went to Bradford. We got a storeroom for the equipment. We installed a truss similar to this. Put a sound system on it. Put speakers on there. Put a TV on there. We put power on the truss. We got a house. We leased a house. So we were there. Didn't know where she was going to live. And we'd fly back on Friday. Wednesday, they said, you can have the keys for the house. Just 2 days before we're going to leave, they gave us the keys for the house. Then we needed beds. I said, listen, let's just buy the bed. So when you arrive, you got to have a bed. And the guy said to us, you won't get a bed. This is Christmas time. It's going to take you 3 weeks to get a bed. So we had worked the whole day. And I said, right, now we go straight to the shops. And the first bed store we went to, they've got this technology. I don't know if we have it here. But it's you lie on the bed and it works out what kind of bed you should buy. Have you seen that? They take your age and they take your height and they take how you sleep. And then there's mom lying on this bed and it fills up with air and it decides what kind of bed you should buy. Even us, we could put all dad's details. We put your age and your size and your what side you sleep on. They came up with 10 options. 8 of the 10 was for the memory foam. They don't like memory foam. Good decision. We're left with 2 options. I said, which one do you have in the store? They took us straight there. There it was, king size. So they said it was £899 or something. £899. It was like 16,000 rand or something. So I said, do we get this whole thing? They said, no, that's just for the mattress. No base, no nothing. Just £899. I got 2 days before we leave. Actually, one day, we're leaving Friday morning. I said, we'll take it. He said, you can't have it. I said, what do you mean I can't have it? It's right here. He says, that's the showroom bed. We have to get it handmade. It'll take 3 weeks to get your bed. I said, she arrives in 1 week's time on the 1st of January. I said, I need this bed. He said, you can't have the bed. I said, don't you have a bed in this place? He went to the system. He said, we have got a bed. He said, you won't believe it. It's exactly the same make. He says, but it's been stressed. Have you ever heard of a bed being stressed? I said to the man, what does it mean when you say the bed's been stressed? He says, well, it was a special order. He says, on the one side of the bed, it's slightly firmer than the other side of the bed. I've never heard of such a thing in my whole life. Mom says, that's perfect. He says, Dad loves a harder bed, and I'll have the soft side. So they took us to the, it was in the back room. They took us there and it was sitting on a base and everything. And the base had drawers in it. And he says, I'll tell you what. He says, if you take this bed and the base, I'll give you the whole thing for £500. There we got our bed. And you can take it today. I tell you, it was a miracle. In 10 days, all of these things took place. Got all the beds. Then people that heard that we were in town started shipping things to us. Plates started arriving. Forks started arriving. There's a whole lounge suite arriving. The beds are there. Everything's in the house. Everything took place. We put a burglar bar alarm system in the church. We put a new front lock system on the church. We had quotes for the repairs of the church. We did the insurance for the house. We signed the lease for the church property. And those were all the small miracles. Do you want to hear the big one? Well, we opened this church account. It's a treasury account so that you can begin the process of applying for a charity. Every church in England is a charity. Like in South Africa, we are a public benefit organization. In England, you're a charity. They send me the forms. 30 pages of questions. Because of corruption, because of all these extremists, it is so difficult to get a charity status. In England, did you know if you are a citizen and you gave 100 rand to the charity, to the church in the offering, did you know at the end of the year that the government will give you 20 rand extra on that giving? It's called the, I remembered in the first service, forgotten now. It's an incredible benefit. So it is so stringent, so strict to get it. They say it a minimum of 6 years, up to 2 years to get your charity status. Tuesday night, this last Tuesday, a man phoned us from the church. He said, listen, he says, I've got some news for you. He said, there was a pastor that died in this town 3 years ago. He had a charity. He said, some of the people have been keeping the charity going. It has 20 years of track records. Even has money in the bank. No debts. He said, I've just phoned all the trustees. They've just agreed they will resign and give you the charity. Come on, somebody. In 10 days. On Friday, we're driving to the airport to start our journey. Friday morning, mom receives an email to confirm that she's just been made the chairman of, listen to what it's called, Faith Ministries Charity. Dad is a trustee. Come on, somebody, give praise to the Lord. God went ahead of us in 10 days. And it was just so amazing to see, you know how I love technology and I'm very pedantic about what equipment we buy. There was a certain sound desk that I wanted. One of the young men that we're sending from here to go and help mom and dad, he's been trained on that. That's the one I wanted. And it was on sale. By the time we got to England, they had sold out of the whole country. I phoned the guy. I said, okay, I'm ready to buy it. He said, we've sold out. I said, well, I have a week. He said it's going to take weeks. He says they get land in Europe, then they get shipped all over Europe, get to England. He says, it's going to take weeks for you to get it. So I phoned Midas. That's the brand name. They were their head office, 35 minutes from where we were living. I phoned the man. I said to him, listen, I need a friend. I said, I have 7 days. This is the desk that I want. He said, there's none in the country. Can you help me? So he says to me, well, he says, every now and then, we have a desk that's sent back with a very minor fault. And if they send it back within 7 days, we don't even repair it. We just send them a new one. He said, I'll have a look around. About an hour later, he phoned me. He said, listen, he said, I found a desk. There is a desk here, but it's not the one that you wanted. It's the larger version. So I said, oh, he said, you sure you don't have any of the smaller ones? He said, no, because I knew the larger one was double the price. I didn't even ask him for the price. I just said, okay, put the phone down. And I thought to myself, I wonder how much they want for it. So I phoned him back. I said, listen, I know you only got the larger one. Can you find out what they would sell it for? What is your best price? He said, I said, I'll have to find out. So he went back down to the accounts and came back. He phoned me back. He said, listen, he says, we will give you the big one for the price of the small one. Come on, somebody. So everything just began to work out, and it's just so exciting to see what God is doing when he goes ahead of you. When you say yes. There's a wonderful song. When Jesus say yes, nobody can. Invitation. The power of an invitation. The power of an invitation. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Listen to this. This is Abraham. He's called the father of faith. I want to talk to you about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Wow. Not knowing. Not knowing where he was going. Do you know that that word there, obeyed, it's a present participle. And it can be translated like this. It says, the word called. It says, when he was being called. He said, while he was being called, he obeyed. In other words, you see, who was Abraham? Did you know Abraham comes from a pagan city? God called a man in the midst of a pagan city, Mesopotamia, was 100 miles from Babylon. Just found a man. There was nothing special about him. He didn't have any special degrees. Doesn't say that he was handsome. Doesn't say that he was rich. It was just that God found a man that would say yes. God's just looking for an individual that in their heart would say, yes, we obey. We hear God. We're going to do it. Found Abraham. And it says that while God was calling, he was saying yes. It was actually just like mom. When mom heard the call for this Bradford church, she was already packing her bags in her heart. It was a yes. That's who God's looking for. He's looking for you this morning. Every man and woman in this church is looking for you. He's looking for somebody that will say yes. While he's calling, you're not asking for the plan. You're not asking for the structure. You're not asking for anything. You're just saying yes to God. While he was being called, he said yes. And God calls him. And in that calling, he started packing. It might have taken several days, several months, or weeks. But in that calling, in his heart, he had already left. I'm going to go. Do you know that he was 75 years old? At the time that he should have been retiring. At the time he should have been resting. At the time he would settle down. The Bible says he became a pilgrim. Started living in a tent, traveling on the face of the earth. Talk about sacrifice. Talk about the call of God. Did you know that the message of Jesus is an invitation? It's a proclamation. It says this: Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus died for our sins that separated us from the Father. And whoever calls on His name shall be saved. And God says, I set before you life and death. There's the invitation. He says, choose life. Say yes. Even your Christian life, even your Christian walk, from its beginning was an invitation. Everybody has an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. There are many that will say no. There are multitudes that are saying yes. The life of the Spirit is an invitation. And God is giving people in this room an invitation today. We begin like Abraham. We have to leave. We have to leave our past life. I tell you right now, the greatest hindrance to the Christian walk is not leaving the past. Abraham would never have fulfilled his destiny if he stayed in Ur. He could have said, Lord, I will obey you as long as it's here. But when God calls you, when God called you to be a son of God, and God called you to be a daughter of God, He called you and He said, get out. Come out from the world. Come out from that worldliness. Come out from that past life and serve me with all of your heart. There's the invitation. He is your Savior, and He's calling many in this room today to say yes. Abraham had to come out from his family, come out from all that he knew. Even in the New Testament, there's an invitation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, and just on the screen, we can read it together. It says this: come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I will receive you. There's the invitation, ladies and gentlemen. When you receive Jesus Christ, He says, leave. Leave. Come out. And I think therein is the greatest hindrance to the Church of Jesus Christ in the world today, is that we want to stay in Ur and not sacrifice to Canaan. Get out and stay out and keep following the Lord. And that's what Abraham did at the age of 75. He followed the Lord. What a wonderful example of faith. And you see, he had to say yes. He had to say yes to the Lord. Many people are saying, I'm worried about coming out. It's going to be a boring life. I'm so satisfied here. I'm so satisfied with my darkness. I'm satisfied with my sin. If I had to leave, it's going to be a boring life. Am I going to be satisfied? I want to say to you, are you kidding? Have you heard of a man by the name of Moses? He had it all. I mean, in worldly terms, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. He had riches before him. He had fame before him. And yet the Bible says he chose not to be called a son of Pharaoh. Why? He wanted to be called a son of God. Do you think he had a boring life? I say to you, no. He chose to leave. My goodness, the Bible says when he got to that Red Sea, the Red Sea opened and he walked across that Red Sea as on dry land. Yet when Pharaoh and the soldiers tried to do it, it says they were drowned. Do you think he had a boring life? I say to you, no. He saw a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He saw miracles. He saw testimonies. He had the voice of God come out of a burning bush. Have you heard of David? This young teenager. I'm so glad he said yes. There was an invitation given to him by his father. He says, son, I want you to go and take some bread and cheese to your brothers on the battleground. I'm so glad he didn't have attitude as a teenager.
Oh, Dad, I don't want to go, Dad. To take bread to my brothers, Dad. Do I have to walk, Dad? It's so far, Dad.
I'm so glad he said yes. Do you know that yes in his heart led him to killing Goliath, Did you know that yes in his heart, after killing Goliath, led him to marrying the king's daughter? Did you know after that, it led him to being the king of Israel, one of the greatest kings? One little yes in the heart of a man will change your life forever. Say yes to the Lord. Walk out of those friends. Walk out of those people. Say yes to God. God will do amazing things in your life. Have you heard of Daniel? He said yes to God as a young man. He would not participate of a worldly lifestyle. He saw the mouths of lions closed. He became a ruler of that time. Touched that known world for God. Have you heard of a man by the name of Abraham? This man that came out of a pagan life. I want to say to you, there's not one man in this room that can ever say God cannot change you. If God can change an Abraham into a son of God, he can change you into a son of God. He took an Abraham, shaped him out of paganism, just simply because he would say yes. Because of his yes, he became the father of the patriarchs. From the patriarchs came Israel. From Israel came the Christ. And from Christ came the church. From one man's yes. He's waiting for your yes. You think your life is satisfied. You think you're fulfilled. Just being in that position, being in that darkness, I want to tell you, there's so much more for you when you say yes to God. Abraham had to say yes. You see, there's an opportunity to say no. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, it says this. Concerning Israel, they were in Egypt 400 years, and God brings an invitation, and he says to them, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm taking you to a new land. This will be a blessed land full of milk and honey. There will be cities you haven't built there. And I want you to say yes. But look at their response in Hebrews 3:16. For who, they having heard, what did they hear? The invitation. They heard an invitation. Come out. Come out. It says they rebelled, ? In other words, there was no yes on the inside of them. Who having heard rebelled? Was it not all who came out of Egypt? You see, they came out. They came out of Egypt. They had to leave their Ur, which was Egypt. And they did leave. They left, so to speak. Somehow they left Egypt, but somehow Egypt never left them. You see, God gave a man by the name of Judas an invitation. He said, Judas, I want to invite you to sit on one of the 12 thrones in heaven. There's 12 thrones in heaven. 12 for the Old Testament patriarchs. 12 for the New Testament apostles. 24 thrones in heaven. He received an invitation to sit on one of those thrones for eternity. How many in this room would love that invitation right now? So I'm giving you an invitation. And somehow Judas, he left for a season. But something was in his heart that he didn't leave behind. In his heart, he valued silver more than a throne in heaven. So he gave an invitation, come out of Egypt. But Egypt was not out of their hearts. Verse 17, now whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? What is that? To those who said no. They said no. You have an opportunity to say yes. I believe we're about to enter a year of invitations. For some of you, it's an invitation to get a new job. Oh, I know you're going to be like Abraham. You're going to say, I've been in this job for 30 years. I'm so comfortable and my pension is secure. But you know God is shifting you. And you've got to have to make a move. For some of you, God's been speaking you to tell you, get married. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm too scared to get married. What happens if I land up like my mom and dad? What happens if I get divorced? What? You know God is speaking to you. And I'm talking to people who are ready to be married, not the 15-year-olds. Don't go to your mom and say, Pastor Peter said I need to marry my girlfriend. That's what it. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those of you that know that you know that you know. But there's a fear on the inside. Some of you, God's calling you to be leaders, and you're just staying in her, staying with your drinking buddies, staying with your past, staying with your sin. And he's saying, come out and be separate, says the Lord, and serve me with all of your heart. He's looking for somebody to say yes. You know, we said yes as a church. We said yes to go and serve South Africa. Oh, I tell you, it was a sacrifice. I tell you, it's been a cost. And while we were in England, we received this testimony from this man, a pastor that was at the meeting, and we prayed for him. His testimony was two weeks after the meeting. He said, he wrote to us, and I had mom read it to me. Remember, we were driving the car, and I said, just read it for me. And he said he just woke up 2 weeks later. He said, it just dawned on him that he's been off medication for 2 weeks, and all his arthritis pain has gone. He said he can jump without pain. He was taking heart disease tablets, nothing for 2 weeks. He said he's 100% perfect. That a simple pastor, and he said, in the meeting, he said he made a decision before God. He said God told him, don't stop your tablets. You are healed. And I said, just from a yes, just to go and do something for God. God is calling many people in this room to say yes next year to something. Whatever it might be, He's calling for your yes.